because it's very important. And it's something that very few of our churches actually follow this practice. And they follow it halfway, partway. But our church adheres to it because we believe it. And we learn a lot as we go along, and we never stop learning. It took me a long time, but I have found some of the original messages I preached when I came up here. And so that's what I'm going to start on pretty soon and show you what I actually believed when I came up here. And it proves that a lot of things that I was accused of that I just wasn't guilty. Jesus tells us of a rest at salvation and of a rest if we let him teach us. It's really a lifetime thing. It isn't something that comes and goes. The rest we receive at salvation, here it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I remember when God was convicting me. He kept on convicting me. I went to the preaching. I listened to the preachers. And I listened to my Sunday school teacher. And I was searching for the truth. And I remember that quite well because I would ask him for salvation. I knew you weren't supposed to lose your salvation. And so I would ask him, and then I would go home, and all of a sudden, I was the same guy that I was before I went down the aisle. And it bothered me a lot. And so finally, there came a time when I knew I was saved. There wasn't any question about it. I had listened to the preaching, and they preached the truth, and I was saved. Now, the rest we receive as he teaches us. Well, I knew I was saved. I knew I couldn't lose my salvation. So what else was there? Well, Matthew 11, 29, which of course follows Matthew 11, 28, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You say, well, you've preached that before. Yeah, I have, but there's a lot of stuff in there that as you go through this, it all adds up. And being saved is something that happens that God does. You listen to it, you react to it, and finally you believe it. If you don't believe it, it may take a long time. You may become an atheist or an agnostic or Lord knows what else. I've been here long enough to know that there are a lot of different ideas about it. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of or from me. I like the of better, because I learned of him. The most important thing I've ever learned in my life after I was saved, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. God's talking about himself. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. I didn't find rest to my soul until I actually believed that he was meek and lowly in heart. And it broke my heart. It was hard for me to realize that someone was meek and lowly in heart, who had all power in heaven and in earth, and something was wrong. I just, can God be that way? That's the way God is. And I've talked about this before. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. I didn't find rest unto my soul until I realized that God had something for me to do. And I had to do it because he really convicted me about it. And I found rest unto my soul, but I found it in the fact that he did it all. And some people have a hard time with that. They have a hard time with it. And after I've been here all these years, and I think back on it, I had a hard time with it. In John 1:35 through 39, and the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, this is John the Baptist, and John stood and two of his disciples. So we're talking about John the Baptist. We're talking about John standing. Two of John's disciples are there. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, when I knew I was saved, I realized you're called to do something. And what you're supposed to do is to tell people about Jesus. Well, he had made it very clear that I was supposed to learn of him, about him personally. And I was supposed to learn from him. Wasn't that hard to figure out? And they followed Jesus. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, they knew about the lamb offering. They knew that Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Then Jesus turned and saw them following. He knew they'd follow him. He knew which two would follow him. Jesus, I learned from him that he was meek and lowly. And I realized I wasn't. I realized that I was saved. I wanted to know the truth. They said unto him, "Rabbi," in parentheses, or a comma, then parentheses, which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And so they came. He said, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, my knowledge of God, I realized, had a purpose. And I sought him. And I sought him diligently. And I know the messages I heard. And I know that I was saved. that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It wasn't a halfway thing with me. It was something that I looked up all the words, every one of them. I looked them up and I looked what other preachers had preached and taught from a whole bunch of faiths. And I finally realized for sure that what I had been taught as a young man in the church I attended, I belonged to, that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, I'm going to just tell you straight out, I don't believe I have any righteousness whatsoever except what Jesus gave to me. I believe that's all I have. I think that's lock, stock, and barrel of all the righteousness I have. I believe he ran the race for me. I believe he completed the race. And I believe when Paul jumped Janus and Jambres, who were trying to say the rapture was already past, he told them that's not right. Put it to them plainly. And a lot of people don't realize that God is meek and lowly. They just can't grasp it. And I've known that a long time. And after they had talked to me at the seminary, I won't tell you which seminary it was. I don't want to get into contention with anybody. But after they said, "You don't know what we believe, do you?" And I said, "Well, no, I guess not." So after it was all over and Ray and the leader of the group, who I dearly love, took me back to his office, and he didn't say, "What do you believe?" He pointed his finger at two scriptures. And he said, "What do you think these scriptures mean?" When he asked me about those two scriptures, I knew exactly what he believed. Because it was something that had been told to me by some of the preachers that I went to when I was seeking the truth, and I realized exactly what he believed. I said, "Okay, I'll take a look at him," but I didn't have to, because I knew what he believed. In James 2, 21:23, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" He sure was. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. It's got a comma in there. James asked a question. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Then he asked him, "Seest thou then how faith wrought with his works?" Comma. "And by works was faith made perfect." The only perfect sinless man who was God and who was meek and lowly was Jesus Christ. And I am justified by his works. I'm justified by his works. And I see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Jesus is the only perfect man who ever lived, who never sinned. And I've worked with my brother for years, and he just won't accept it. He's a Christadelphian, and he believes that Jesus could have sinned. Well, he didn't believe that until after he shacked up with a woman. And after they broke up, he joined a different sect of them. Seest thou then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? Only perfect man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. Only perfect man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. And all those people that are justified by the blood of the seed. They are justified by the blood of the seed. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's the only righteousness that I have. It's a righteousness that God gave to me. I didn't earn it. I'm not worthy of it. You say, well, you shouldn't be our pastor. Okay, go. I'm telling you exactly what I believe. And he was called the friend of God. Now, when it says, and he was called the friend of God, God called me. I did what he said. And when I came across this Lamb of God, I wanted to know what made him the friend of God. What do you call a friend? Somebody that forgives you all your sins. That's what you call a friend. And that's what God did when he saved me. You say, well, did you ever ask him before he saved you? Oh, yeah. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He had a lot to teach me. I'm still learning. And I don't try to push this off on anybody. But Abraham was saved by the blood of the seed that went down through history. Matthew 6, 33, 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the only righteousness I have. I don't have any other righteousness. You say, oh yeah, you do. No, I don't. I want you to know that I don't have any righteousness except his righteousness. That's it. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow. What's going to happen on the morrow? The morrow shall take thought of these things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A lot of people never get past that. They never get past that. They just have got to have it their way or no way. That's it. You say, well, Have you gotten past it? No, I haven't gotten past it. Take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. After God saves you, He is determined to protect you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's real, He's genuine, and He's God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul, of course, wrote that in Philippians. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, manure, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the only righteousness I have. I don't have any other. I just don't. And if it takes more than what I'm telling you, you won't see me in heaven, because I believe that Jesus did it all. Lock, stock, and barrel. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. When they followed Him up to where He pushed the disciples in a boat and got them over to the other side, it says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. It's pretty plain, isn't it? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what I do. I don't think I understand all this perfectly, but I know that He called them out after they got up to Sea of Galilee and in that area. He didn't call them out right there where you have John the Baptist. You didn't have that. He says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Well, am I perfect? Why is it that I'm still seeking? Why am I still looking? Because I'm supposed to. I'm not supposed to lose interest in Him. You says, well, just I'll never forget what one man said to me after I baptized him. He said, now I'm counting on you to teach me what I need to know. I wonder why He said that to me. That's been my job ever since God saved me. And that's what I do. Let us therefore, since Paul said he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Do you ever feel guilty because you think you may have done something wrong? Are you so sure of what you believe and so positive in it that you won't listen to anything else? Have you ever gotten that? You ever had that problem? God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, nice big long word, and that's exactly what it means. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. He said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, conclusion. Therefore, my beloved brethren, written by Paul, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Well, what are we doing? We're down here worshiping God. And what am I preaching from? The scriptures that have to do with the Lord Himself. If God Himself is meek and lowly, and God cannot lie, then what does that make us if we are bought with a price? What does that make us if we are bought with a price? We're servants of God. What kind of servants are we? Well, we're just servants. You say, what kind of servants? Bond servants. Now, the truth of the matter is, this church has had good deacons. This church has a good deacon. This church has good preachers in it. And here we are. But I think that this church, and myself, I'm the pastor, I think that I need to recognize that the only righteousness I have was given to me by Jesus Christ. He's the only one who could run the race. He was the only one who could do it. Nobody else could. And so, if I go to hell for what I'm teaching, well, just don't ask where I am, because you'll know where I am. I taught heresy. No, I didn't teach any heresy. I taught something that I've learned. I was taught. And I was taught by the Word of God. And do I believe in miracles? Why, certainly. I'm looking at this clock. And you're going to get out early. It's a miracle. You said, well, that doesn't prove it, Brother Michael Murray. I know there's lots of things I've got to learn. And so why don't you dismiss us, Kenneth?
All right, buddy. The angel.